Good morning, all. You know, one of the things the Bible says is God will honor you if you honor Him. I understand there's some circumstances why some people aren't here, and it's not their fault, but on the other hand, those of us that are here, we need to be here and be ready to go when the time comes, when 10:30 comes around, or when 7 o'clock comes around on Wednesday night, instead of just starting things up at that time. Just putting it out there for you, a word to the wise, and we'll let it go. I'm not here to beat up on anybody. I just know that it's not honoring God for us to start late or to do things at the last minute, having to rush. I don't know what's happened, why all of a sudden it's this way, but we need to get back to our first love and get the zeal of God in us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So consider that an encouragement, not a rebuke. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, this morning we come to you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We proclaim we are your people, and we proclaim this is your time. And Lord, we've come to hear from you this morning. We want your truth, your will in our lives. And we want understanding on what your will is and how to walk in your will and the truth, Lord. Not our opinions, not our attitudes, not our feelings, not our emotions, not our experiences, but the truth of your word. And to walk in the power that goes with that, Lord, because you said that you have given us the same power, the same ability as Jesus, because Jesus lives and dwells in us. You, Father, are so awesome and so big. It's beyond our comprehension to know how you can live inside of us and yet be as big and vast as you are. But we thank you that you do. We sense your presence. We thank you for it. And this morning, Lord, everything we do, we want to bring honor and glory and praise to you, Lord. We love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Just real quickly, as the boys are coming, getting ready to take our tithes and his offerings, or his tithes and our offerings. There we go. I just want to tell you something. Can I ask y'all a question? Or let me make a statement. If you want to make God laugh, if y'all want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Did you catch that? Do you understand? Kinda. You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. He's got a plan, but our plans usually don't line up. And our plans usually are what gets us into trouble. We, instead of doing it his way, won't do it our way. So if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Oh, I see. Now I get it.
Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning that you've given us. We thank you for each and every person that's here today.
Yes.
We ask you to bless us. We ask you to help us to listen and take in what you have for us today, Heavenly Father, because we know it will help us tremendously in our relationship with you. We ask you to bless this offering. We ask you to multiply it so that we can, even though we're a small church, that we can still do your mighty work.
Yes.
Throughout the world. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. I want to start out in Deuteronomy chapter 28 this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's pray real quick again. There we go. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your reality, Lord, and make it real to us. We set aside our emotions and our feelings. We set aside our thoughts and plans. And Lord, we expect to hear from you this morning. Things that will illuminate our understanding, open our eyes to the truth of your word, to you, Lord, who are truth. You are the truth and the life and the way, Jesus. And we receive you this morning. Now, Holy Spirit, we yield to you. Take us the direction you want us to go that'll please the Father and that's in accordance with God's will. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You know what? Stick your finger in Deuteronomy 28, and let's start out with Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. We'll come back to Deuteronomy 28 in just a moment. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Let me just say to you that one of the things that I have been languishing with, and I come this morning with an apology to everybody. We're not supposed to walk by sight, we're supposed to walk by faith. We're not supposed to walk by feelings or emotions, we're supposed to walk by faith. Our emotions and our feelings will deceive us. What we see will deceive us, but the Word of God will never deceive us. Amen? And the thing that's important that we understand today is the fact that God has already set in motion. When Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross, that means everything that was necessary for us to live and exist in this life, as we become heirs and joint heirs with Him by saying, "Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You were born of a virgin. I believe You came to save us. I believe You died, rose again on the third day, and now, Lord, You sent the Holy Spirit, and I thank You. I believe that. I receive You. Be the Lord of my life." And then we understand that God says He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. And that means there's nothing that you require in your life that's necessary for you to live that has been withheld from you. Jesus has already paid the price. It's paid in full. And can I just make a statement to you? Why learn by tribulation when it's easier to learn by revelation? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Too many times we learn by tribulation when all we got to do is look at the Word and get revelation, and we won't do that. And I was talking to my son just a few days ago about this. You know, it's so much, and he says, "Well, that's just life, Dad. You know, you learn by your experiences." Why? I don't know about you, but when I was little, my folks tried to guide me so that I didn't have to go through the heartache and hurts. Learn by tribulation. They were trying to give me revelation so that I would not make the same mistakes they made and to make my life better. But because of my carnal nature, I got stubborn and I remember one of the little kids when they were little saying, "Me do it, me do it." No. No, that's the first place where you start to get in trouble is when you want to do it. That's why I say, if you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans. If you walk in the Word of God, if you walk knowing that God's Word is His will, we sit and pray, "Father, reveal Your will to us." No! Instead, we should be saying, "Father, according to Your will, let it be done to me." If you can't say anything else, say that. But if Jesus paid the price in Isaiah 53:5 for our healing, for our transgressions, for our iniquities, then that means it's a finished work, because He said it is finished. Everything He came to accomplish was accomplished right then and there. And when He gave up the ghost, it was ours. Now, the Holy Spirit didn't come until after He had ascended into heaven, which that authority and power, as He came to live in us, He brought His Spirit, and He sent His Spirit to live in us, right? That came as the Holy Spirit descended and came on us and is now infilling us. Amen? You're not so sure, or anyway. The bottom line is, let me tell you something. One of the observations that the Holy Spirit reminded me of is there's only one place in Scripture where Jesus said, and you have to think about where He was, what was facing Him, and the feelings at that moment. He was in the garden and He said, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will, Lord." At the same time He said it, He was reminded that He came for a purpose. That was to redeem mankind. To redeem mankind once for all. It's finished. Amen? So this not, can I tell you why, when we pray sometimes, we pray from a hope-so attitude, not from a confident attitude. We know what the Word says, but we're not quite sure that God wants it for us or that it's going to turn out the way we prayed. That's doubt and unbelief, folks. It's doubt and unbelief. I'm going to say again, and maybe I said it earlier this past week. Fear tolerated, listen carefully, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Where there's fear, there's worry, there's anxiety, there's fret, torment, doubt and unbelief. And that pretty much contaminates your faith, doesn't it? If you don't deal with it. Amen. Don't deny the truth. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Yeah. So what I want to do this morning is I want to show you some things in the Word that should change the way you think, the way you pray, and the way you live. Amen? That's what I want. I'm tired of living this life hoping. You know, we've seen mighty miracles in this church. We've seen them when we prayed in agreement with the Word and sent the Word out to those people out there that God has touched them. He's heard our prayers and delivered people, right? We're all aware of that. We've heard tremendous testimonies in this church of things that happened. Kathy's family, Harry and Marie, Patrick and Donna, all of us, amen. Bill, you know, myself. Look around you. Look at the transformation in Brian's life. Dave, you know? I mean, praise the Lord. And it didn't happen by happenstance, or God didn't just wake up one morning and say, well, you know, I think I'll do that for them today. No. The Scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If the Word of God is not your sole and only and complete authority in your life, then you're not walking in the power and authority of God, and you're not walking in the freedom that God's provided for you. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. It says, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, listen, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What does the Bible say? Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them in Mark chapter 11. Amen? There's no doubt. If you say to the mountain, be removed, it'll be cast in the sea, it'll be done. And yet when we pray for, well, Father, if it's your will, you know, he's already said, we already know. If we get this down in our spirits, his word is his will and his will is his word. Now, what is the word? Go back to John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus came to fulfill the will of God. He was the will of God. He is the Word, the living Word, the way, the truth, and the life. And so if we'll do what He says and we'll believe what He said He accomplished on the cross, we'll walk in power and authority we have not only, or we've only dreamed about to now. How many of you come in here on Sunday like today, seeing as few people and think, well, Lord, how much longer are the doors going to be open? Anybody? I have. Listen, this is not, again, a rebuke or an indictment against you. This is a rebuke and an indictment against our flesh, our carnal thinking, our stinking thinking. We have been listening to too many voices for too long. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. The unfortunate thing when you listen to a lot of preachers, they get in, you know, there's a preacher that I've really come to really respect, and all of a sudden he started off on a tangent the other night that I had to shut him off. So I'm very careful what I listen to. Talking about demons. He's talking about Old Testament stuff. We've been delivered. We have authority over those things. We need to understand that once and for all. Somebody came to me not very long ago and said, Bill, do you think, Pastor Bill, do you think we have enough faith to cast out demons in this church? And I said, absolutely. He said, well, I don't think we do. Well, I'm sorry that that's what you think, but that's not the truth. God endued Jesus with power from on high. Jesus left his deity, he came in the flesh, and he came in the flesh to accomplish and to take on him all of our shortcomings, all of our thinking, all of our wrongdoing, all of our sin, all of our ugliness, and he took that on himself. And he buried it. And when he took up residence in us along with the Holy Spirit, we now have taken on the entire ability of God. Listen to me. You know your Bible says that God created us a little lower than the angels. That means a little lower than Elohim, a little lower than God. But what has he done? He's crowned us with glory. Amen? And he said, these things will you do, and even greater things in my name. When are we going to start believing him instead of doubting him? Why do we pray from a place or a spirit of timidity? When you say, God, if you're not my will, but your will be done, that means you really don't know or you're not sure what God's will is. Thank you for that, amen. Why is it so much easier to learn by tribulation than receiving the revelation of God and walking and learning in that, learning from that? It's a carnal nature. It's because of the Adamic nature that's in us. And that is being dealt with every day we wake up and take a breath and walk with God. God's dealing with that. It's the way he made us. But he didn't leave us in that place. He's given us everything. Everything. Say everything. All things that pertains to life and godliness. Amen? So that means I have the ability of God. I have everything I need to live this life. Not just live it, you know, day by day, kind of hold, well, Lord, hope everything goes good today. It means I have the ability to walk in the power and authority of God. I have the ability to speak into situations and see those situations change according to the Word of God and the will of God. What did Jesus die for? Was it in vain? Did he take those stripes, not really meaning what he said, that, you know, by his stripes we are healed? And then in 1 Peter 2:24 says we were healed? Amen. Turn with me back. Well, first of all, let's go to Deuteronomy. Your confession needs to be what it says in the first 13 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Don't read it from a perspective of what you're going to get. Read it from the perspective and start confessing over your life what God says about you and to you and of your, what your abilities are. Starting in verse 1, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, this is Old Testament, Jesus came already, he died, he rose again from the grave, he's seated at the right hand of God, so it has come to pass. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments. His commandments, that's not just talking about in a past tense thing, the Ten Commandments meaning, you know, the law of God. That's talking about his commands to us of how to walk, how to live, and how to thrive in this walk we have with him. Obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today. In other words, he's told us what to do. Now we need to be like that tree planted by the living water and let that water come in and let that water flow out of us. Rivers of living water. Not waters of hopefulness. Hope only comes in God, amen? That's the only place where you get hope, where you get any hope from. Commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations. Again, where are we? Pre-Jesus of the earth. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now listen, here's what it says. It says, blessed shall you be. How many know what the scripture says that says, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. If you're not confessing that and you're poor and you're not healed, then guess what? Maybe it's not because you don't have it, it's maybe because you're not confessing it over your life. And when you start confessing the word over your life, you start believing it. It starts getting from your head down into your heart. That 18 inches is what they call it. And you begin to see things change. How many of you have, by walking with God as long as you have now, have seen when you're really convinced about a scripture and you pray it, you know that it's real, you see it come to pass, and it's operating in your life? Amen? So instead of saying, blessed shall you be, start confessing, I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. The fruit of my body is blessed. The produce of my ground is increasing. My herds are increasing. My cattle are increasing. My offspring are increasing of your flocks. Increasing not only in numbers, but in blessings. Amen? Verse 5. My basket's blessed, and my kneading bowl. In other words, everything I have prospers. Why? Because it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? And it's a process. It's working in us from the day we get born again until the day we draw our last breath or get caught away with Him. Whichever comes first. Amen? Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be. In other words, I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. You start confessing those things and watch your life turn around. Watch the circumstances in your life. Start saying, I am strong. Because of who? Because of the Lord. It's not my strength, it's His strength. Amen? And because you start confessing the right thing and it becomes starts becoming part of your life, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. What's some of the enemies? Doubt and unbelief. Not being sure of what the Word says, that it applies to you. Amen? When we stand up and say, I have what the Word says I have, when we stand up and say, I am what the Word says I am, we begin to walk in power and authority and begin to have boldness and confidence in Him. Amen? The Scripture also tells us that when we come boldly to the throne of grace, we have the petitions we've set before Him. We have them. We're not hoping they'll come to pass. You see, one of the things that stymies us and causes us to walk in fear is the fact that we know what we're like, and we're not sure we're worthy. Let me tell you something. You are worthy. Jesus made you worthy. Jesus died for you and I. If you're not worthy, then why did He do that? In fact, He did it because you weren't worthy. He did it to make you worthy in Him. Why? We've seen these films. The one last Wednesday night and a few Wednesday nights ago. We've seen these films talking about the bigness and greatness of God. And He is big and great. He's told us, you'll do the same things I do and even greater things. Because you are His children. You were created for His pleasure in His image and likeness. We're carrying on where the disciples and Jesus left off. We are His hands, His feet, His voice in this world. One of the things that happens to us is because of our confession, positive or negative, we receive the things we confess. Or things come on us because we're not quite sure that the work is really finished. Come on, let's get real here today. Let's just be honest this morning before the Lord. We come to Him hoping instead of knowing. Wanting instead of believing. Or wanting to believe, if you will. And yet God says, if He says it's finished, it's finished. Every promise in here, in Him, is yes and amen. Yes, and so be it. So the only thing we have to do is come in line with that and start confessing that. And we'll watch our lives change, and we'll begin to see, instead of people leaving, people breaking down the door to get into this church. And it starts right here. And that's why I apologize to you this morning. I've cried out to God. I've sought God for years. God, what's going on? But let me also share another picture with you. Look at me now and pay attention. Look up here, please. Listen to me. I have been telling you for the past few weeks that God is standing up there. Jesus is standing up there looking at us. And he's a proud brother. He's a proud father. And he's wringing his hands and saying, "That's my child. That's my child." They're trying. They're trying. He doesn't see your shortcomings. He doesn't see the things you do wrong. He's working in you both to do will and to do of His good pleasure and to make His word come to pass in your life. That means everything you ask, everything you believe, everything you stand on. You can't stand on soft ground. If you don't have a foundation, you can't stand. Amen? So when you stand on the Word, that means everything that God says, that God did through Jesus, excuse me, everything He says He's put in you and given you. Amen? When Jesus came in, what came in with Him? The fullness of the Godhead bodily. The fullness. Not half. The glass is not half empty, folks. It's half full. And it's, in fact, it's overflowing. If we'll start to walk and believe that and start to confess the Word, you don't ask for healing. You thank God because Jesus said it's done, that you have healing. You don't wish and hope you're going to get healing. Your confession, my confession has been wrong. Amen? Amen? It's time to change our confession and start speaking the truth. And the truth is only what God says in this Word, what Jesus did and what Jesus said. Amen? What made the people in this book great? What made Paul and the disciples great and Jesus great? Obedience to the Father and acting on His Word. Amen. If you want to know where to look up that, where Jesus was in the garden, Jesus was at a point of frailty in His humanity because He was completely human. He left His deity behind. But He knew what God had sent Him to do, and He knew that God was with Him. And because of the relationship with the Father, Jesus trudged on and was motivated, even though He was flesh. And at that point in the garden where He said, "Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but You, what You will." That was at His weakest point, and He was showing His humanity to us. That's why we can go back and read the Scripture that says that we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. That word tempted in another in the book of James, translates out tested or tried. Did you hear me? Jesus was tested or tried in every area the same way you and I are. Testing and trying doesn't come from God because God is not tested or tried by evil. Read the book of James if you think I'm kidding you. It's the word tempted, but it really means tested or tried. God's not tested or tried by evil, nor does He test or try every man. But every man is tested or tried when he was led away of his own lust and enticed. That means his own thinking, his own ways, his own devices. Are you with me? Is anybody getting anything out of this? Praise the Lord. Again in verse 7 it says, "The Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you. to be defeated, to be defeated. Not hopefully, not maybe, but to be defeated before your face. Why? Because you're His, and He is jealous over those who are His. How many know the Bible says He's a jealous God? What's He jealous over? You and I. Why do you think He puts things in the Word that says, don't touch my anointed? What makes you anointed? Jesus in you. Because He, Jesus the Christ, is the anointed one with the anointing. So don't touch my anointed. Amen. Anyway, cause your enemies to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you. He has not going to. He has done that. Because Jesus did what He was sent to do. So it's now yours. Everything that we're speaking of here, everything that we're reading here in these 13 verses is yours today because God said so. Not because I said so, because He said so. Because Jesus completed the work. Is Jesus like some of us as humans doing things halfway? Or does He do it all the way? Does God do things halfway? The Bible says what He says He will do. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord will command His blessing. He's already done that in your storehouses. Amen. We need to start confessing not what we see or what we feel. We need to start realizing that when God says in His Word, He says, command those things which be not as though they already are, or call those things which be not as though they already are. That's called faith, folks. That's called faith. That's looking at the situation and not walking or looking at the situation, but looking at the promise instead of the situation. Amen? Didn't He tell you, if I'm for you, who can be against you? Hello? And He says He'll bless everything that your hand sets to do. Let me tell you something. The example we have is where the children of Israel were told to go in and possess the land of promise, or the promised land. Let me tell you something. You and I have up to now have stepped places where we've claimed and we have received and are walking in those promises right now. I didn't say we've arrived. I didn't say we're at the fullness of the blessing or the fullness of the promise of God in our life. But we're getting there day by day, moment by moment. Step by step. Amen? Do you believe that in your life? Do you see that happening in your life? Faith is not passive. Faith is aggressive. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. The reason I want you to turn to these or write them down is so you can go and look at them and see that I'm not just blowing smoke at you. That's why we give verses. I appreciate that vote of confidence. Well, let me tell you something. I guarantee you, every one of you can tell when it's me and when it's then when it's God, when the difference between when it's me and when it's God. Amen? Amen. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Let me read that again. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect or of no effect? No! Verse 4, certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. There's so many voices out there, and I'm not saying they're all wrong and they're all evil. What I'm saying is you need to be careful. If you know His voice, then you'll respond to His voice. It's the same thing that happened to Jesus when He came down off the mount, and the enemy came and enticed Him and lied to Him. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew. Because the heart behind what Satan was saying did not line up with the heart of his father. Amen? And so he was able to stand against it by using truth against twisted truth. I've said many times in my walk with the Lord, error is just a portion of the truth carried to an extreme. Do you hear me? That's all error is. It's part of the truth. You know, there's always an element of truth in everything the enemy comes and lies to us with. Because he knows better than to come right on and flat tell us a flat-out lie. Of course, that depends on your walk with him and where you're at. If you don't know him, then you're open to everything he says. Amen. Let's go to a well-known scripture. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Holy Spirit, I thank you that this is getting in and it's sinking in, and the revelation is coming to every person within the sound of my voice. Thank you for being in me, working through me, in Jesus' name. I thank you for what we have this morning, the desired outcome, and that's to grow and be strong in you. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is. Now faith is. That means right now, this minute. What is it? It's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. That's why I tell you, when you pray the prayer of faith, which is praying the Word of God, the strongest and highest form of prayer you can pray is the Word of God, then that becomes effective in your life if you'll stand and you will not doubt. But don't approach it from the whole, man, I really need this, I really want this, but I just don't know if God wants this for me. If He put it in there, it's for you as well as for me and everyone else that's in His kingdom. And it's even for the world, but they don't know it yet. Amen. Listen, for by it, by what? The now faith. The now faith, right now. The faith right now. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word. No, excuse me. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. Sorry, I just about skipped that. It's a very short verse. Verse 3. For by it, or by what? By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Turn with me back over to Genesis chapter 1. I think you all probably know where I'm going with this. Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 3. You all know this. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. What did he do? He said it. He confessed that there was light, and light came. Amen? Verse 6. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Amen. Verse 9 says, and then God said. Verse 11 says, then God said. Verse 14 says, and God said. Verse 20 says, and God said. Verse 24 says, and God said. And verse 26, then God said, or and God said. You see, God has shown us, He's made us a little lower than the angels, but He's created us in His image and likeness. And because we're His and because we've yielded our lives to Him, we have that same ability, because the greater one dwells in us, to be able to say what we want and what we expect to see in accordance with the Word of God. In other words, the promises. God says, with no good thing will He withhold from you. He says he gives you the desires of your heart. Whatsoever things you pray, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. How do you believe that you receive them? God said you could have them. He said he'd give them to you. Amen? So why are we walking in weakness? What were the worlds framed by? In verse 3, the Word of God, which is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And again, I refer to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was with God from the very beginning. He is from everlasting to everlasting, just like God is. Turn over, if you will, to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Let me just throw this out to you, too. Do you realize when you get to heaven, you're not going to be the age you are now? I don't know what age you'll be, but I can tell you you're going to be young. Because there is no aging. Amen? If you look back at the original plan when God created man in the garden, the original plan was for them not to never die. The aging process started when they sinned against God, disobeyed Him, and ate of the book of good and evil, ate of the book of the knowledge of good and evil, ate the tree. And the one that God really didn't want them to is the book of, the tree of, the book, what's that? Yes. The knowledge of good and evil. Okay. Well, anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. Romans 4, verses 17 through 22. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He's talking about Abraham here. In the presence of him who believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Listen to me, who contrary to hope, that's human hope, human understanding and human reasoning, who contrary to hope, in hope believed that he became the father of many nations according to what? To what was spoken by who? By God. So that your descendants, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, the Bible says Abraham didn't stagger at the promise of God. Now, he got in the flesh, decided he was going to try to help, he and Sarah. But he never considered his own body. He never considered hers. He took God at his word. And did it come out the way God said? Even though he screwed up? Amen. Amen. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. In other words, when you're walking in faith, don't consider the things that are around you or what your mind's trying to tell you. Tell it to shut up. Consider only what the Word of God says. You stand on the Word of God, and what you ask for, the Bible promises, will come to pass. The promise to Abraham came to pass. And you know what? It would have happened whether Abraham did anything or not. Except believe. Whoa. You mean I don't have to do anything? Just believe? Yeah. Did you hear me? Just believe. So thank God he said it. Then you believe it and that settles it. It's done. Is that too simple for you? Praise you, Lord. Okay, let's go on. 4:17, where are we at here? Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. Verse 19, sorry. And not being weak in faith, how do you get weak in faith? Start looking at the circumstances and everything around you. Start looking where you're going to have, where you think you need to intervene. Remember, your plans, his plans. The things of God don't come about because of your abilities or your helping him. How many TV shows have you seen where somebody stands up and says, don't help me. Don't help me. God doesn't need your help. He needs your obedience. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider. Listen, he never thought once about his own body or how this was going to happen. And yet he knew. The scripture says he knew. He and Sarah were past the age of having children. But he didn't stagger at the promise of God. What's that?
You'll read it here in a second.
Yeah. Did not consider his own body. Already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's... No, that's God. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver. There was no vacillating in what he... God said it, and that was good enough for Abraham, and he stood on that. Amen? He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. What do I mean by unbelief? That doesn't mean you just flat say, I don't believe you, God. But it means that you think, well, and you didn't think, well, how's this going to come to pass? Or, well, you know, maybe if I do something, it'll happen quicker. That's what got us into trouble and why we've had the thorn in this world's side for all these years called Ishmael, which is all the nations of Islam. Are you with me?
Amen.
Say amen or oh me.
Amen.
Verse 20 again. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but strengthened in faith, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. How was he strengthened in faith? Thanking God, giving praise, giving glory and honor for what God said and what God promised. Amen? Because the Word says what God promises, He will do. And the truth of it is He has already done. We're living in the past tense of those Scriptures. Asking you receive, seeking you'll find, and knocking the door will be opened unto you. To everyone who asks, receives. To everyone who knocks, the door is open. And to everyone who seeks, will find or has found. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 21. And being fully convinced. Listen carefully. You know the key to faith? Be fully convinced that what God says is true. Nothing else is true and nothing else matters. But being fully convinced that what He had promised, He was also able to perform. See, he believed that God could do what he said. He believed that God would do what he said. This is before Jesus. And after being, And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Your righteousness that you walk in is not your own. It's through Jesus and because of Jesus and because Jesus lives in you. You have been declared. Listen to me. Once and for all, you have been declared righteous. You have been justified just as if you had never sinned. Righteousness is right standing with God. You have been declared, past tense. Amen? But here's where we struggle. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Listen carefully. Think about what we're reading here. But the natural man, that's the carnal fleshly nature, the carnal fleshly abilities, human reasoning, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why not? For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Did y'all get that? Understood. See, your flesh fights against everything that God is and God has for you. Okay. I want to also look at verse 14 or verse 15 and 16. But he who is spiritual judges all things. That doesn't mean you judge people, but you judge everything that comes, whether it's from God, whether it's not from God, if it's right or if it's wrong. And by that judgment is how you act appropriately to the situation or the what's happening at that moment.
Amen.
Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Listen to me. Think about this for a minute. Let me give you some understanding in this. Look at the world right now. They look at you and they look at how you live and what you say and they think you're a raving lunatic. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. And they can't understand the fact that you're not like them. Amen? You see that? He who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. They can't figure you out and they can't judge you. In other words, they can't say what's wrong with you. In fact, what's wrong with you ought to be wrong with them. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a member of the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Which one of us has known the mind of the Lord so we can instruct God? Listen to me. But we have the mind of Christ. Don't look at me like a calf in a new gate. Is Jesus in you? Is he the hope of glory? Is all of his ability in you? Then you have the mind of Christ. Why? Because you gave up your mind. You gave up your thoughts for his thoughts. You gave up your desires for his desires. And his desires are everything that he promised in the Word, like we read in Deuteronomy. You're blessed coming and going. You're blessed in the field. You're blessed in the country. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed... You know, everything you touch prospers. Everything you touch prospers. You need to start confessing that. Father, I thank you that everything I touch prospers. The Bible says, let the weak say I am strong. You need to start saying, Father, I thank you that I'm strong in you and the power of your might. Not in my might, in the power of your might. I'm not weak, I'm strong in you. I thank you that I have a bank account that supplies not only my need, but the needs of others. I have the ability to give into your kingdom. I have the ability to walk in that blessing. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Y'all ought to be getting excited about now. Just bear with me a little bit more. We're just about done. Turn with me to Isaiah 55:9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I like how you describe the scripture. You know, you make it more to where I can understand it better.
Well, that's the Holy Spirit, not me. Because if I don't understand it, I can't give it to you.
Spirit, yes, but it gets through you.
Isaiah 55:9. Here's what it says. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, remember we just talked about his ways are not our ways and our ways are not his. They're spiritually discerned. Listen to this. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's God revealing to us. You know why the world can't deal with us and don't like us? Now listen to me. One of the things we've talked about many times or that they say in Christian circles is don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. And yet there's an element of truth in that. When you got the mind of Christ, you are heavenly minded. You have a goal. You're pushing for a goal. You're moving towards a goal. What is that goal? The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Which means what? That we finally see what we've been living for. That eternity with him. That life after physical life. Where we suffer no death. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Listen to this carefully. Look, see where you are in this scripture. And let the Holy Spirit help you make the adjustments you need to make. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now listen carefully. Now this is the confidence. Did you hear me? You hear what it says? You see it there? This is the confidence that we have in him. In who? In him. In God. In Jesus. That if we ask anything according to his will, listen to me, It says anything. Not some things, not a few things, anything according to His will. What is His will? His Word, and His Word is His will. It's been revealed to us in His Word. He hears us. You see, when you pray the Word of God, God, you open the door for God to respond to you. And not only that, but all of His ministering angels and spirits are able to come down and bring to pass and enforce what you've stood in faith for. Healing, prosperity, deliverance. Let me tell you something. Prosperity is not money. Prosperity is wholeness of spirit, soul, and body. That's what prosperity is. Amen? So let's look 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything in His name, His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, listen carefully, whatever we ask, we know. Does that sound like there's any doubt or unbelief or wondering if it's going to happen? We know. Why do we know? Because He's faithful. He's faithful to perform His word. He said, I can't lie. So if He says you got it, you got it. But if you're not walking in it, it's because of you, not because of Him. Because it's available to you. In other words, you have to accept the entire gift. Salvation, the word salvation is the word sozo. And what that means is you're saved from something to something. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it talks about you being a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. So that sozo means you were saved from death and destruction, from poverty, from mental anguish, from mental torment, from mental diseases. You were saved from physical diseases. You were saved from poverty, from lack and want. Amen? You tell me when you ever saw an heir of the throne, which you are heirs of the throne. Amen? Ever walk in lack and want. Ever walk without having their needs met. Ever go without. Am I telling you the truth? Is that right? You got royal blood in you. Bill, royal blood in you, brother. We know that He hears us. And if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask, have asked of Him. Scripture talks about holding fast your confession or your profession. That doesn't mean your job. That means what you profess out of your mouth, what you say out of your mouth. Hold fast that profession if it's from God. Listen to me. When something comes, you know, this has been something that we've struggled with. And again, this is from too many voices talking to us. This is from religion. They're saying, don't deny. But the Bible tells you to put a guard on your mouth. And when something comes against you, immediately say, I'm not receiving that symptom. I'm not receiving that pain. I'm not receiving that bankruptcy notice or whatever. That doesn't mean you're not bankrupt in the natural. But how can you be bankrupt if God's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places by Christ Jesus? Amen? You see, it's perspective focused on the Word of God. See yourself as being who God says you are. Who Jesus died to make you. Jesus paid the full price. And He's now working in you. And you know the cool thing is even though we miss it or we make mistakes, He doesn't cast us down. He doesn't judge us. Amen? I don't have that scripture right here in front of me, but we read that scripture where he's removed your I'm going to paraphrase, shortcomings and your iniquities as far as the east is from the west. And your sin and your lawlessness, He remembers no more. So when He sees you, He doesn't see you as a lawless creature. He sees you as a blood-bought child of the living God who's being continually redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Perpetual cleansing. Just like when you get dirty. You go take a shower and the dirt goes away. You're not dirty anymore. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. In other words, he's not judging your weaknesses. He's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's working in you to bring to pass those things that he says you have and the ability he says he's given you. Amen? So that you can do those greater things that he said you would do. Amen? Do you believe that today? Who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points. That means in everything you feel, every emotion, every pain, every shortcoming, every doubt that you have, he felt. Tempted as we are, yet without sin. Why? Because he kept his focus on God and what God said. And he knew God would bring it to pass because it was God's will. And Jesus demonstrated God's will and revealed to us what God's will is for us. Amen. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Can you walk into a police station just after you've done something wrong and feel comfortable? Come on now. You bet you can't. Because why? Because guilt has set in. You're guilty. You know you're guilty. But God doesn't see the guilt. He came to dispel the guilt. He came to dispel the torment. He says and he's declared. Listen, he declared you once and for all clean and righteous. Amen. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. What? Grace. Grace. Unmerited. That's grace. Unmerited favor. You can't do anything to get it. You can't do anything to get rid of it. Amen. What did he say? Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. When God's word says I'm healed, I'm healed. I'm not looking for it. I'm not desiring it to come. I'm thanking God that the manifestation is there. And I'm not changing my mind, and I'm giving praise and honor and glory. Amen? Because it's mine. I walk in it. I have it. I'm not asking for something I'm looking for. I'm thanking God that the manifestation of what I have is coming through. Amen? Hallelujah. Is anybody encouraged this morning? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Give him praise. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord this morning. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Mercy assumes a need on the part of him who's trying to find it, and resources adequate to meet that need on the part of him who gives it or shows it. Did you get that? That we may obtain mercy and find grace. For grace for what? To help in the time of need. He knows your weaknesses. We just read that in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, that he's a high priest that sympathizes. He understands. He's been through it. And I'm going to leave you with this thought this morning. Praise God. Listen carefully. On God's invitation list. On God's invitation list. What is that? The book of life. Next to yours and my name, it reads, paid in full. We need to start confessing we have everything that pertains to life and godliness. That means everything we need to exist on this earth, everything we need to be comfortable. Amen. Everything we need to be mentally stable, physically whole, it's paid for, and it's ours. He's standing right there. When you receive him, you receive everything he represents, everything that he completed, everything he did on that cross. Amen. So let's stop worrying about, or stop praying, if it's your will, Lord. If you don't know his will, go to the Word and find out what his will is. And you thank him that it's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, he does know things we don't know. And yes, he does see things that we don't see. But his will is for everybody to be healed. And it's his business, not ours, to deal with if there's going to be a change or if it's not going to turn out the way we pray. It's his business. How many remember the old show, Father Knows Best?
Oh, yeah.
Robert Young.
Still on TV.
Well, let me tell you something. In reality, Father does know best. Amen.
Amen.
Walk in the fullness of who he is. Walk in the fullness of what he has. When we say, let the poor say I'm rich, we're not just talking about monetarily. We're talking about we're rich in faith. We're rich in blessings. We're rich in friends. We're rich in the Holy Spirit's indwelling in us. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I've been strengthened this morning. Let's stop praying from a place of hoping or wishing. Let's start praying from a place of knowing. And what does the Bible say the truth will do?
Free.
And free in what? Indeed. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you this morning that we have everything you said that we have that pertains to life and godliness. I thank you, Lord, that you have made us free and we are free indeed. I thank you that we walk in truth and wholeness and light, Lord, as you said. And Father, we know what your promises are, and if we don't, we're going to look and find out what they are, and we're going to confess your promises over our life. We're not going to confess anything that does not come from you or that's adversely against what you say in your word. I am healed. I am whole. I walk in health. I am prosperous. I thank you, Lord, my bank account. Our bank accounts are full. I thank you that every person here has everything that you have for them and that it's manifesting in their life from this day forward. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you. Father, I release life and that more abundantly into every person here. I thank you, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, that when things come that are against the Word of God, they'll be reminded instantly by the Holy Spirit, that's not from me. That's another voice, and don't listen to that voice. Respond to the voice of God. Don't listen to the voice of that stranger. Listen to the voice of the shepherd. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for those who were not here this morning. Lord, be with Donna as she continues her trip, and Lord, bring her home to us safe and sound for Patrick's sake and all of our sake. Thank you, Lord, for doing what you did for her father, Lord. Saving him, bringing him into your kingdom, Lord. We're going to get an opportunity to know him. We thank you for that. So, Father, right now, with all hearts clear, are all hearts clear this morning? Okay? Father, you heard that. According to what Patrick said, you see Rob, you see Cindy, now we send your word, and we say the word is what we stand on and believe. They are healed. They walk in health. They have health. They're not looking for it, Lord. They desire the manifestation to be there. So, Lord, I thank you that as you're working in them, they'll receive the thoughts and the understanding of your word, that they have what you say they have, which is health and life more abundantly. Set them free in Jesus' name. We rebuke you, Satan. Get your hands off. We rebuke doubt and unbelief, saying, get out of their life. Leave them alone. They're God's kids. Don't touch God's anointed, devil. And now, Lord, we just give you praise for that. Are all hearts clear now? And Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for blessing your people. And now, Lord, we want to give back to you praise and worship and honor and glory this morning. Thank you for speaking to us. Seal your word in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of promise. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.